Returning to our coverage of the federal budget, let's take a look at what the raft of spending measures and tax rises unveiled by the Treasurer last night would mean for our economy, for business, and for Australians more broadly. Let's go to our panel of experts. Cassandra Goldie is the Chief Executive of the Peak Welfare Lobby Group, the Australian Council of Social Services, or ACOS. Chris Richardson is a partner with Deloitte Access Economics and a long-term budget watcher. And Innes Willocks is Australian Industry Group's Chief Executive. A well-practiced RM Breakfast budget panel. Thank you all for joining us again. Let me turn your microphones on. That's much better. Chris Richardson, let's start with you because I always do. We'll come to the bank tax in a moment. But these tax increases, more than $14 billion raised by taxes. Finally, a grudging admission from the government that Australia has had a revenue problem. You know, the Treasurer used to say, we don't have a revenue problem. Well, we certainly have a revenue solution now, don't we?
Look, we do. And I would say, and I guess we always have said, that there were both revenue and spending challenges. The government's plan A for several years was to wind back spending. The Senate consistently said essentially no. And you would say the community view was probably no. And it's the old definition of insanity. Do you keep doing the same thing over and over again? This time they've gone to plan B. Plan B does involve tax increases. And I think what they've done broadly makes it, you know, that Medicare levy to help fill a hole in disability insurance funding, that's a really good thing.
Okay, I'll come to that in just a moment. But just to stay with you for one more second, Chris, do we still have a spending problem, though? I mean, the claim by the Treasurer last night was that by 2018-19, we will no longer be borrowing, the government will no longer be borrowing to fund everyday expenditures, funding on health and education. Does that claim stack up? Have you had a look at that claim?
So I think we do still have a spending problem. So you're always going to have a spending problem in the sense that a bunch of our spending is not well directed. You know, it's not achieving either prosperity or fairness. And I look across the spending we do, I think that's true. Don't forget that, you know, new things being announced include stuff that gets rather more expensive beyond the Ford, you know, that's an old issue.
Like what?
Well, the Gonski 2.0, which seems an entirely sensible thing to do, but you've got, you know, two and a bit billion in the next 4 years and another 16 billion in the years beyond that. So there is a continuing issue there. For me, the question is, though, will the revenue cover it? And I don't have big problems with the Treasury economic forecast, but I'm more suspicious of how they translate into budget terms. The key view in this budget, as we've seen for a long time, is that revenue will get a lot better, and that's what gives us a surplus.
We'll come back to the forecast in a moment. I just want to stay with these tax increases. Cassandra Goldie, I wonder what you think of the Medicare levy. Chris says undeniably a really good thing. It's been increased across the board, and a good chunk of it, more than half of it, will be used to fully fund and lock in, guarantee the funding for the NDIS, the National Disability Insurance Scheme. Is this a good way to pay for that?
We certainly think it's a great step forward. As Chris says, you know, last year we all sat here saying it's both a revenue problem on the budget as well as, you know, poorly targeted spending. And we're really pleased that we've seen this change in approach. I think we'd all agree tax reform is unfinished business. There's some big structural changes that we still haven't dealt with. For example, you know, dealing with land tax, big issue for all of us. So in this sort of looking over the medium term, in these crucial areas, a recognition that education, health, decent social security, these are important parts of the social infrastructure for the country, and we've got to grapple with the revenue over the medium term.
I think a couple of you at least were at that, it's a dim distant memory now, but a year ago or so you had a tax summit. I mean, Innes, there is nothing approaching tax reform in this budget in those terms, is there?
No, not really. There's no such thing as tax reform here. There is a commitment from the government to continue down the track with corporate tax cuts. Now, our message to the government would be that alone is not going to be sufficient, and that doesn't equate to tax reform. That this needs to be tackled in a much more holistic way. But no, there isn't tax reform, but there is at least that commitment to look at this issue. And that's a positive, but you know, we need to do much more.
Let me stay with you, Innes, and get your response to the tax increase on the banks, $6.2 billion. It's a great big new tax, no doubt about that. It's been likened to the mining tax, which, of course, there was a massive campaign about, led by the Coalition and the miners. We heard from Anna Bligh, representing the bankers earlier, absolutely outraged. She says this is just a big money grab. It's anti-jobs, it's anti-growth. What do you think of it?
you can understand from one perspective why the government's done it, because they're looking for revenue to fill a revenue hole, and that's essentially why they've done it. We have problems with it on two counts, and I'm not representing the banks. I represent a lot of industries who have troubles with banks, but there are two problems with it. Inevitably, it is consumers, either business or household consumers, who will pay for this, and shareholders will get whacked as well. So that creates problems, and it's just a matter of time before the banks find a way to pass this on. Or,
well, Anna Bligh was out front. She says there's only three places to recoup this from: interest on deposits, interest on borrowings, or shareholders.
Correct. No doubt about that. So this will come down the pike. The second point is, now that we've opened this Pandora's box, who's next? What industry next could be hit with a levy if it's perceived as doing well? I mean, will it be, going back to miners? Will it be, transport? Will it be widget makers? Who knows? But it just opens up now a precedent for other sectors of the economy to be singled out by either side of politics.
Cassandra Goldie, you're smiling.
Well, I'm smiling because we've opened up a precedent which says that when we need a decent tax base, we're going to have those that are in a position to contribute, more and more fairly. And so we need to see this for, in the balance of who could be hit. I must say we would much rather see this kind of approach than, hitting people on the very lowest incomes in Australia, which was what we were in 2014. We've not, as Innes knows, the cut to the company rate, we said if we weren't prepared to do some of the decent structural change in the tax system, we weren't prepared to back that because it was unfunded. Now, the government has gone on the banks at this point. We think that when you look overall at the numbers now, we don't have enough in the system for us to deal with the big holes in the social security system. The New Start payment, Fran, there's nothing in this budget again to lift the level of the people who are on the very lowest incomes in the country. And so, of course, we'll say, let us deal with the revenue side, and the banks is one part of that.
And, Chris, that's the politics of this straight there. Cassandra Goldie, representing a whole lot of people on low incomes, and a whole lot of Australians will say, fair enough, tax them, don't tax me. Fair enough. But Cassandra also mentioned there's something we've spoken a lot about on this panel in years past, which is the New Start allowance. You've, all of you, I think, supporters of increasing the New Start allowance. There's just no relief here. And Cassie, I'll come to you, of course, on this, but Chris, no relief here at all on the unemployment benefit. Why do you believe this should be lifted?
Because we do not pay a sufficient amount to live on for those who are unemployed. Now, most Australians aren't unemployed, and we're not thinking of the dollars involved. For a very, very long time, governments of all stripes basically have been much more modest in their increases around unemployment benefit than almost anything, the tax benefits. But the other benefits that get paid, we have this ridiculous situation where you're much worse off on an unemployment benefit than a range of other benefits. As a nation, we can and should do better than this. I am a long-term supporter of winding back silly spending. But this is, it's not even that big. This is an area where we should be spending more. The politics around that, the tabloids like to see, tough on the unemployed and the rest. I get that. But as a
random
nation,
drug testing,
it's a fail.
Frank, yes, let's make a point here. In this whole debate, it was interesting, in the lead-up to the budget of AI group members, the third most important issue that they would have liked to have seen out of this budget was tax reform, but aimed at personal income tax. Because I think business recognises that there are real problems with the tax and transfer system within Australia. And we need to get investment going. We need to get confidence flowing through the economy. And if we don't have money churning through the economy, through measures such as an increase in New Start to give people more money in their pockets, even if it's a minimal amount to allow them to live and spend, our economy gets glued up. And I think that's where businesses recognised that this is an issue that we need
income
to tackle.
Income taxes get consumer spending going.
Income taxes and the transfer. I think
that's really code for
saying tax and transfer system needs to be looked at.
In terms of economic growth, I mean, the very best knowledge on this front now is saying the trickle down is not what we're here to talk about. about. It's about, you know, inclusive growth, which is actually the engine room of lifting up the incomes of people on low and modest incomes. That's where the engine room of economic growth will come from.
And that's recognised. I mean, that's the headline of this budget. It's fairness. That's what the message from the Treasurer was all about. We need, you're not feeling it, let's get inclusive growth here. That's the message from the government. Is it written into the budget?
But not in the budget. In for the people on the low incomes, these Social Security payments, in fact, there's been a cut to the family payments for the lowest income parent households. That was the one, the deal with the Xenophon team over the childcare package. That's in this budget. And, of course, instead, we've got some of these one-off payments to pensioners. Again, well, look, it's a one-off thing. This is going to cost in the short term, but we haven't dealt with the real issue of inadequacy for the people on the lowest levels. Instead, we've got more stories around welfare crackdown and savings.
Let's go to that. As always, we are going to run out of time this morning. I can see that already. But Cassandra, we should go to the random drug testing. It's just trials, 5,000 people. The Prime Minister asked him about it earlier. He said, we all want people to get off, you know, we don't want people on drug dependency. We've got to do our best to help them. What is this?
This is part of a message out of the budget, which is, we think, demonising and vilifying of people who are unemployed. You know, they're going to pick some areas around the country. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're applying for a social security benefit in that area, you're going to be subject potentially to a random drug test. Imagine what that's like. You know, this is the issue for somebody is, I don't have a job. I'm looking for income support here. And that particular part of the population is going to be exposed to random drug testing when other parts of the community know invasiveness in your life. I mean, drugs and alcohol are an issue in Australian society. It cuts right across the community. We need a health approach to that. We think this is just nasty stuff. And the welfare crackdown part of it, you know, the demerit system, the experts in the area, of course, they didn't talk to anybody who was the experts in this. Compliance is very, very tough already. Successive governments have been cracking down on welfare. And we think, again, this is more of the, we're going to, you know, pretend that the main issue on Social Security is that you're just not trying hard enough.
Innes, you made a point earlier that some jobs do have drug testing.
Look, Fran, I get that this is a vexed issue.
And what do you think of this random
issue,
drug testing for those
on
the dot?
But I'll just make the point. Tens of thousands of Australians face random drug testing every day in the workplace, thinking mining companies, mining services companies, transport companies and the like, those who work with heavy machinery, those who work on process lines. It's a huge issue for employers and employment. It is one of the biggest issues that we have at AI Group with our advice line is employers calling in, how do I deal with these issues? So I get that it's a tough issue, but the reality is that tens of thousands of people face random drug tests in their workplace every day. And you know, I think that's just the way that the trend is going.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 10 minutes to 9. Our post-budget panel, Cassandra Goldie, Innes Willocks and Chris Richardson. Chris Richardson, we better go to the spending on infrastructure. There's an awful lot of money there. The second airport in Sydney, the inland rail, the surprise was the government's going to buy the whole Snowy Hydro scheme, and the Prime Minister told us this morning the states love that idea. Are these specific projects good debt in your view, and are they in safe hands? Governments building major infrastructure projects, I thought we'd gone off that idea in the past.
Look, the idea of good debt and bad debt is a good idea. You know, I've whinged for years about the need to do better on the budget. But that's about the day-to-day budget. You genuinely need to spend for the future, but you need to make sure that that spending stacks up. You know, something like Badgerys Creek, second airport in Sydney, it makes sense to me. Again, look at the cost benefit. Inland rail, I think the nation has, you know, reason to ask, show us the cost benefit. You know, is this just the Nationals versus versus one nation in the bush? $8 billion, that's a lot of widows and orphans, basically, and I'm happy to be convinced, but it comes down to the specifics, the cost benefit.
Okay, the Prime Minister had a very big sell on it. He says basically he was implying it's a no-brainer connecting Brisbane and Melbourne. But look, a couple of other issues. We are going to run out of time, but housing affordability. Chris Bowen this morning has said Labor will not support that measure for first home buyers. They say it's going to degrade the superannuation system. Can I get a response from Innes and Cassandra?
Well, we love the infrastructure measures. Yes, they take a long time, but we do need nation building and we need productivity enhancers, and this is a good way of doing it. Rail, the focus on rail is particularly welcome.
And you trust government to build it?
Over time, yes, it will take a long time, but at least there is a roadmap. We like that. On housing affordability, we actually think the land release announcements the government made are going to have more short-term benefit than the super part of this equation. Look, you know, we're pretty dubious about the super measures because housing now is really out of reach of people trying to put in a couple of $1,000 here or there into a super account. It's not going to make a fundamental difference, but the land release measures are really a positive.
And Cassandra Goldie, I'll get your view on the super, but also there's some big chunks of money for low-income housing here, isn't there?
Well, no, there's no new money.
None of it's new.
None of it's new. This is about securing the existing
funding. You opened my eyes, Cassandra.
The existing funding commitments in homelessness services and social housing. So
it's a recommitment, though, to the homelessness funding, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, but no real increase, Fran. And so there is nothing in this particular package which will immediately address the people who are at the most housing stress. Nothing to increase Commonwealth rent assistance, nothing more in the homelessness or social housing area.
Do you think the vehicles the Treasurer has put in there to try and attract more money to build social housing is going to work? Is it going to deliver?
Well, look, there are some elements. It's good to get them going. So the bond aggregator, the infrastructure to set that up, I think we will wait to see what the private investment community does with this. We're sceptical that it will be enough. There's a financing gap there still, we think. We could have probably done a bit more debt financing to really get this to where it should have been, so that the private investment community could absolutely back community housing. And I must say, it's a shame we've got the first time owner and the super measures in there. We think they're wasteful, actually, and we could have probably done something better at the lower end.
Okay, we have to go. We haven't even got to those forecasts, but Chris Richardson, just tell me, is this government going to kickstart growth?
Well, governments never do. And you know, the economic forecasts are believable enough, especially in the short term.
Chris Richardson, Cassandra Goldie, Innes Willocks, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Innes Willocks is CEO of the Australian Industry Group. Chris Richardson is an economics partner with Deloitte Access Economics. And Cassandra Goldie is CEO of ACOS.